Good afternoon. It's easy to say that it's a pleasure and an honor to be here, and it's a great privilege for me to receive an honorary doctorate of humane letters from the university today. It's also terrific to be back on this campus where I got my master's degree 30 years ago and where I had my very first job, or at least my first real job, as a lecturer in the School of Business. But while this is a very special occasion for me, it's an even more special occasion for you. It's a chance to celebrate the success at the end of years of hard work. So I feel doubly honored to have been asked to give this address this afternoon, and I'd like to thank the President, Dr. Philip Austin, for the honor and the privilege of being here with you today. I'm especially pleased to be here in the light of all of your recent achievements. Now, you know them better than I do, but as the university celebrates its 125th anniversary, it's truly worth remembering that this is now the top public university in New England, and it has been for 7 years running. It has a leading role in both academic and medical research. You have just won 15 out of 21 research awards for stem cell research, and it's important to note that that's way ahead of a small Ivy League school just down the road. Both student applications and student funding have doubled in the last decade. So while this may not have been a school of choice when I was here 30 years ago, it absolutely is today. You also have so many terrific achievements right here in the Gampel Pavilion. It's kind of cool to be giving this address right here. I could list each and every year that the basketball team has won the national title, but I'd run out of time, and I still wouldn't have mentioned the men's team. When I started to think about today, I thought about what mattered to me when I was your age, and I'd love to be original, but I'm probably like many of you when I say that the most important influence was my family, and in particular, my dad. He was my hero when I was your age, and he still is today. He was a teacher, and he was the smartest guy I knew. Now, there may be a little bias sneaking in here. The other really important thing to me when I was growing up was playing sports. I loved being part of a team, and I loved to compete. I loved the sense of achievement that came from giving your all. And I wouldn't say that I always needed to win, but I wasn't going to let the whistle blow if I was losing. I recall trying out for Little League when I was 8 years old, and I asked my dad what position I should try out for. His instructions were clear and very much to the point. "Bobby, try for catcher. No team has enough catchers." Well, no 8-year-old, not now, not then, not ever, not in the history of the world, no 8-year-old has ever wanted to be the catcher. And of course, I know now what I didn't know then, that I probably needed some help to make the team, that my edge was not going to be natural talent, but attitude and hard work. And what my dad did was to suggest somewhere where I could compete. Now, in my own mind, catcher has become the most glorious position on the team. I got to wear more equipment than anyone. I got to tell everyone where to play their position. I was the guy that told the pitcher what pitches to throw. And I was the last line of defense blocking home plate. And I turned out to be an okay catcher. But you know what? More importantly, I absolutely loved playing that position. It was similar with football when I was older. I would never have made the high school team as a quarterback, so when the coach called out for a pulling guard, I shot right up to the front. And again, I recall being told by my dad what a great position pulling guard was. Well, maybe it was better than center. But you know what? I absolutely loved being on that team and being part of the success of our high school football team. And in the end, I was elected to the all-state football team for the state of Massachusetts, probably because I was the only one that really wanted to play pulling guard. During those years, my dad taught me about how and where to compete, and that, at the end of the day, attitude was everything. If you couldn't have your dream, you made the most of what you had. You absolutely never quit because something was difficult. And if anything was worth doing, it was worth doing right. Most importantly, he taught me that if you want to be a winner, you need to act like a winner. And those lessons have stayed with me throughout my professional life. So when I talk about talent in my current role as president of Barclays Bank, I'm not talking just about those people who have made it to senior management. I'm talking about everyone, all 100,000 people in the organization. Our job is to find those people that can perform in the top tier in every job, in every location. Whether you're a bond trader in New York, a back office clerk in Singapore, a call center worker in Glasgow, or an investment strategist in San Francisco, you have to be the best that we can hire. So what does this have to do with you? Why does this matter? Because the people that you are going to be working for, if they're any good at all, they'll be constantly measuring you against your peers. And to really succeed, you must be able to perform in the top tier. So it's important that you find something where you can compete. Don't go for the status or the glory. Find that place where you can succeed and make the most of what you have. And that may mean being a catcher, not a pitcher. And that may mean being a pulling guard, not a quarterback. But there's one thing I know for certain, and that's that each and every one of you, every single one of you, has the potential to be top tier in something. And if you find that thing, your contribution will make a real difference. The second lesson I learned early on was making tough decisions and the importance of being willing to take a risk. When I set out from this campus, I took the lowest paying job of anyone in my graduating class. It wasn't that I didn't have a choice. I could have gone to IBM for more status and for more money. But I ended up going to a small medical supply firm where I knew I could get more experience more quickly. And you will know exactly how hard that was when there's only two things that your friends want to know. Who are you going to work for, and how much are you going to get paid? So it wasn't an easy decision, but it meant that 2 years later I was recruited to Morgan Stanley. And remember, in those days you only got to Morgan Stanley if you were a graduate from Princeton, Yale, or Harvard. But even then, I didn't go to the job that I really wanted. I knew I couldn't go straight in as a bond trader, so I took a risk and I went into the technology department. I did get the opportunity to become a trader years later, but only if I was willing to go in at the most junior level, again, giving up status, giving up seniority, to join the lowest rung of the trading ladder. You know, it's awfully easy to go for immediate reward, but choosing what might be better in the long run is a risk, and therefore it's a much tougher call. When I joined Barclays 10 years ago, I faced a very similar situation. I joined an investment bank that wasn't working. The easy option for Barclays was to sell it. Instead, we took the more difficult route. We decided to restructure and to focus on only those areas where we knew we could compete. And that led us to exit two activities that almost all other investment banks depend on. At the height of a boom in dot-com and technology stocks, we exited the US IPO business. And at the height of mergers and acquisitions activity, we exited that business. Everyone said we were mad, that our business model couldn't possibly work. But today, it's the model that others copy because it has the best results for our clients. But it was a risk, and it was a tough decision. I also recall when I was a very junior trader at Morgan Stanley, sitting at my desk late one evening reviewing the transactions that I had done. And at first, I was really excited and pleased when I realized that I'd had not done a transaction that I had lost money on. But it didn't take long for me to realize that if I had never lost money on a transaction, I had never really taken risk. And if I wasn't willing to take risk, then I must have missed an awful lot of transactions that would have been important to the firm and to our clients. So what does this have to do with you, and why does this matter? What it means is it's important to be willing to take a risk. Don't always take the easy option, and most of all, have the courage to make mistakes. What matters is not that you make mistakes. What matters is that you have the courage to face up to them, correct them, and learn from them. I have certainly made mistakes. I spent 4 years of my career in a firm where I was miserable. But I don't regret having gone there, because it's in the most difficult moments that you learn your best lessons. And for me, that lesson, my third lesson, was all about culture. I didn't really fit at Credit Suisse First Boston. I was in the wrong culture. And culture is one of the things that matters most to me now at Barclays. It's the single most important factor in building our business. And for me, the culture of an organization is actually pretty easy to define. It's how our people act when they're not being told what to do. And it's underpinned by values that are really, really important. For us, it's about how we perform, not how long someone's been there or who they happen to know. For us, it's about teamwork. It doesn't matter how strong your individual skills are. If you can't work well as a partner and as a colleague, you have to go. For us, it's about putting clients first. Whether you're teaching a class or running a business, there's no activity that doesn't have a client or a customer at its very source. And the only way to build sustainable value is by putting them at the heart of what you do. And for us, it's about the quality of execution. You can have the best strategy in the world, but if you don't deliver on your promises, your strategy is not worth the paper it's written on. And last, it's about integrity, and it's about trust. And you know, I feel good that that's important to me, integrity and trust, and I feel good that I work with people who think it's important. But it's more than that, it's good business. Without it, you put your reputation at risk, and you can lose your reputation in an hour, even though it's taken you a lifetime to build. So what does this have to do with you, and why does this matter? Because it's important that you find yourself a spot that has values that match your own. All these lessons were invaluable to me when I started out 30 years ago, but of course, the world is a very, very different place today. I moved to London with Morgan Stanley in 1988. I went out to Tokyo for Credit Suisse in 1992. Because in those days, America was ahead of the rest of the world. In those days, there was a real advantage to an American education and to an American business experience. We were literally sent out to teach the world. Today, that's not the case. Today, there's a global talent pool to draw from. The number of graduates that we're recruiting right now in India, in Russia, and in China has tripled in the last 3 years. And that's not just for jobs in those markets. That's actually for roles in London and New York. And that means you're going out into a much tougher market than I did 30 years ago. So it's all the more important that you find the space where you can really contribute. When I look back over the last 30 years at the things that have been important to me in business, unsurprisingly, they're the same things that were important to me growing up. The values that matter to me started at home. My dad treated everyone as equals. He gave everyone a chance, he put his trust in people, and he supported them. Though I didn't realize it at the time, he taught me about meritocracy, about teamwork, about integrity, and about trust. He taught me about the values and cultures in the organization I would want to work in. My dad also gave people the courage to take a risk. He taught them that we all get knocked down sometimes and that when you fall down, you pick yourself up and carry on. He taught me that taking a risk and making tough decisions was important if you want to succeed. But most of all, he taught his students that everyone has a place in this world where they can succeed if they approach life with the right attitude. I remember being at Morgan Stanley 20 years ago. At the time, there was nothing more important to me professionally, nothing more important to me in my career than becoming a partner at Morgan Stanley. And I had an opportunity then to talk to my boss, the chief executive, Dick Fisher, about just that, about becoming a partner. And his advice, I can recall as being very clear and very simple. He said, "Bob, if you want to be a partner, act like a partner." It reminded me of my father's from years back, whose advice to me was also very clear and very simple. And it's his advice I'd like to leave with you today. As you get ready to leave this fantastic university, as you finish your celebrations that you deserve for the success of graduating, but most importantly, as you look at all the exciting opportunities and challenges ahead, as you begin your own careers, remember his words. If you want to be a winner, get out there and act like a winner. Thank you, and good luck.